Brilliant. So I thought the lights had gone down for me actually, because I've just arrived back at 4:30 a.m. on Monday from Hong Kong, and I have to say, I think the notion that London could be or should be anything remotely like Hong Kong, I think will be an unbearable nightmare. And this is high density living of the very worst kind. So let's put that idea aside. That said, there may well be scope for some more high-rise buildings. The other reason I thought the lights had gone down is I've just come from my departmental Christmas lunch, where I've probably over-consumed alcohol. So the combination of that and jet lag is not a good thing. So, first of all, a few statistics. Paul basically has already highlighted these. We know, really, that new completions in London are running at about 20,000 a year. We know that really we need perhaps 40 to 50,000 units a year to be able to keep up with new household formation. But the post-war peak has only been about 37,500. So clearly there is some sort of major structural shortfall. So the key question is obviously, why is this and what can we do about it? Now, first of all, let me say that I don't think that the planning system is the root cause of all of the problems in somehow delaying new housing construction. I've got serious doubts that this really is the root cause, or that it could somehow, if we liberalise the planning system, that this at a stroke could somehow solve all of the housing supply problems. I think it's reasonably well known that many developers basically trickle out dwellings from their sites in order to basically ration supply and to keep prices relatively buoyant. It's not basically in their interest to significantly increase construction. Now, one potential solution to this, I think it's already been discussed as part of this research, is to actually time limit permissions in a more focused way, so that you basically have a build it or lose it basis. But the notion, I think, that a freed up private sector would really do the trick is quite unrealistic in my view. I think the primary goal of the private sector is fundamentally to maximise profits, and that's not necessarily a problem, but it's not to increase production. And I think an example of the problems here is the redevelopment of Battersea Power Station. This has been in train for about 30 years. And it's been in train, it's not primarily, I think, because of planning holdups. It's because the site has been passed from one developer to another, with people trying to pay off funding and all the rest of it. So Battersea has basically been an example of pass the parcel in development terms. And eventually it appears that the Malaysian, I think, developer is going to do the business. Now, one potential explanation, I think, for the shortfalls, and you'll have to excuse me here, this is revealing me to be unequivocally old school, is the massive changes in the tenure structure of production. Because a really significant proportion of output in the 60s and the 70s was, as we well know, was council housing. And although it's obviously extremely unlikely that central government will fund local authority building in the current financial and political climate, it could, I think, in theory, and I underline the words in theory. You're looking shocked, actually.
I hope
I'm not saying something which is dreadfully.
Not yet.
Not yet. It could potentially increase output. So I want to just here go on to two graphs. This shows new housing construction in the UK by tenure from 1969 onwards. And what you see here is the red lines is local authority construction, jump basically from, it was beginning to slow in the late 70s, but obviously from around 1980 onwards, it really nosedives. We see housing associations, which are the green line, picking up to some extent over this period, but obviously nowhere near taking up the the slack in terms of the sheer volume of production that was accounted for by local authority housing. And I would suggest to you that the blue line, private construction, what it shows is fluctuation around a fairly stable level. In other words, it's gone down nationally to 110 something thousand, and it's gone up at its peak to about 200. But I would say that this is a cyclical pattern. So if we next look at new completions in London by tenure, again, I think, well, you can see, this is particularly entertaining, the little green bars, which you probably can't even see, this is local authority housing. And you can see here that there was some residual level of about 1,800 units in 1990, but basically it no longer exists. Housing associations have increased, but basically I think the argument I would put is that one of the reasons why housing construction may have fallen so dramatically in Britain and in London is that there's actually no new local authority housing. We can perhaps, I'm sure, debate that. So I'll pass on. Land availability. We know that it's proved very difficult to get 6 minutes 42. Right, okay. It's going to be bad stuff. It's proved really difficult to get the public sector to release land in some areas, but we've just seen the government announce the creation of a major new town in Bicester, RAF Bicester. We have, I think it's in London, but Paul may be able to correct me here, we have RAF Northolt Airfield. I would ask, simply pose the question, why do we need a military airfield on the periphery of London, and how many units could that possibly allow us to create? In fact, if they built the housing in London and shifted RAF Northolt out to Bicester, we might have had quite a solution there. Now, one final point, if I may, which is the question of new development for whom. If we look at all the stuff which is in the newspapers a lot at the moment, number one, Hyde Park, the Lancasters, the Chilterns, these are all promoted, I think, as a really rather unmitigated good thing, bringing in the international rich to live in London. But I think the number of luxury apartments retailing at many millions is really unlikely to benefit most Londoners. And the news yesterday, I think in Standard, was that the Emir of Qatar has just bought number 1 to 3 Cornwall Terrace to knock together into a £250 family mansion. I don't know whether that's going million to count as a loss. Did I say billion or million? I don't know whether this is going to be a loss of two housing units or a gain of one housing unit, but basically it's not going to contribute much, I think, to housing supply. So I think that there is a fundamental question that, to me, that more luxury housing is not really going to help to address the housing shortage for the majority of ordinary Londoners. And of course, one more development, I'm just picking up things out of the newspapers, Scotland Yard has just been sold. Scotland Yard is going to be redeveloped, I think, for luxury flats again. So it's not going to really help in terms of housing ordinary people. So I'll finish. Thanks.